Hello, hello everyone, and welcome back to the Doctrine Detox Podcast. This is episode number 30, and I am still on the mend from last week's sickness. It is allergy season, and I'm still getting punched in the face by pollen, but not to worry, I'm going to be okay. This week's topic is a little bit more necessary than it is derived from interest or desire to talk about it. Lately on my Patreon, I have been getting reported, I think so far 16 times as of recording this episode. People have been reporting my content for inciting violence. I like to think that I post insightful content, but not inciting content. And even hate speech and bullying, which if you actually listen to the show, you know it's none of those things. But I think I know what's going on. I feel like some evangelical group has found my podcast and found my Patreon and decided to cut me off at the source to try and get me removed from the internet without actually listening to what I have to say. This comes as no surprise to me because I do receive a lot of emails, not daily, but several a week, from various evangelical people basically talking about how I'm doing terrible things and I'm trying to make people atheist. And again, if you're actually listening to the show, you know that's not the case at all. I've had several people on the show who are Christian and have told me that they enjoyed their time here. Anyway, this isn't a marketing tactic. This isn't me trying to get you to give me more money if you aren't subscribed to my Patreon. In fact, I recommend right now that you don't, because I don't know what's going to happen. And if my Patreon gets taken down, the whole show goes with it, because that's my source of support. That's how I pay for the show. And if I don't have any support there, then there goes the show. So if I'm suddenly off the air, you'll know why. But this does open the door for a very important discussion to be had about Christian persecution. Now, that isn't Christians being persecuted, but rather Christians who are the ones doing the persecuting in this particular case, where I'm just trying to talk about things that involve religion, and all of these evangelicals are trying to get me removed from the internet for it. And this is absolutely not the first time this has ever happened. Far, far from it. So today I wanted to talk a little bit about that and talk about how Christians are always talking about how they are oppressed when most of the time they are the ones doing the oppressing. Now, before I dive too deep into this, I think it's important to say now that this is not hate speech. This is not me bullying, and I'm not trying to tell anyone to go out and do violence to anyone else. I'm simply pointing out the facts of what's happening to me and how it's happened to other people in the past in order to possibly open some eyes and, at the very least, inform people. Now, it would be very easy for me to talk about something like slavery, but I'm not really going to get too deep into that, because even then, Christians were very polarized about that. And while they aren't so much today, there are still some who are pro-slavery, as I have seen down here in the southern United States. It's kind of terrifying. Anyway, I do think, however, slavery was sort of the start of this whole Christian persecution complex that they tend to have here in North America. The overarching attitude back then, when it was still being heavily debated, was, if you don't agree with me, then you are persecuting me. If you're not for me, you are actively working against me. And that hasn't changed at all since those days of early America and slavery being discussed. An interesting example of this is the Starbucks Red Cup controversy that happened in 2015. That's right, it happened 6 years ago. Where, if you're not familiar, Starbucks during the holiday season released red cups. It was just a plain red cup. It didn't have any snowflakes on it. It didn't have any crosses on it. It didn't have any Stars of David on it. It was just a plain red cup with the Starbucks logo. And that was their Christmas line. And people flew into an absolute rage and frenzy over that. The evangelical Christians were claiming that it was an affront to Christianity, that Starbucks was trying to remove classical Christian ideals from the home because they wouldn't put any Christian symbolism on their cups. Which, by the way, if you look at like previous years' holiday themed cups from Starbucks, they would have like snowflakes or snowmen or little ornaments or sleds on them and stuff. But there was never like a cross and like Jesus is the reason for the season or anything like that. So, you know, a plain red cup seems like a perfectly fine minimalist idea for 2015. Anyway, unless you live under a rock, you're very well familiar with that whole controversy that happened. But it was a very interesting look into the minds of the very devout evangelical Christians. Anyone with a brain capable of doing logic will tell you that a simple plain red cup is not an affront on anything. It's not an attack on anything. It's not trying to remove anything. It is simply a plain red cup, a minimalist design for the holiday season. But the evangelicals took that mindset of, if you're not for me, you're against me. If you're not going to put holiday symbolism on your holiday cups, then that must mean that you hate Christmas, and that means that you hate Jesus, because Christmas is the most Jesus holiday in the world, despite the fact that it's absolutely not. I did a whole episode on that during the Christmas season. You can go back and listen to it. Now, as weird as it may sound for me to rehash old news, this is a really prevalent example that everyone can identify with. Anybody who's listening to this episode probably is familiar with the whole Starbucks Red Cup controversy and that whole mentality that the Christians have, or at least that particular part of the evangelical sect of Christianity hasn't changed. In fact, it was there long before the Starbucks controversy, and it'll probably be there long after. Another prevalent and more serious matter are the people who go and picket outside of any given Planned Parenthood. There are thousands and thousands of people who do this on a regular basis from different organizations and different churches who just go to any given Planned Parenthood on any given day, and they just stand outside and they have signs that says, you know, abortion is murder and God hates murder and God hates abortion and things like that. But if you read stories of people on the other side of it who have to go to Planned Parenthood and are being shouted at by these Christians about, you're killing a baby or you're a whore or things like that. Like, these are actual things that have been said to people by the Christians who are picketing outside of these Planned Parenthoods. When in reality, those people weren't going in for an abortion or abortion screening or anything. Yes, that is something that Planned Parenthood provides, but not 100% of the people who go to these Planned Parenthoods are there to get this service. Now, I'm not going to get into the healthcare rights and things of abortion right now, because that's something that I could fill an entire episode with and is just as political as it is religious. And that's not really something I want to delve into right now. But my point is, there are people who go to Planned Parenthoods for, say, breast cancer screenings or to get an STD or an STI treated or things like that. And the people who are picketing outside of Planned Parenthood don't know that. They don't know what people are going in for. They're just shouting Christian obscenities and profanities at these people to the point where some Planned Parenthoods, if not all of them, I don't know, I've never been to one, have to have guards, people who escort their clients to and from their vehicle so that these picketers don't do something to these people, grab them or beat them up or whatever. And I have to say that if you are a religion that first and foremost preaches love, God is love, and your presence requires someone else to be physically guarded, then you are doing something very, very wrong. And once again, the mentality here, the thought process here is, by providing this service, you are oppressing me. You are getting rid of my rights as a Christian, which is absolutely not true. If you don't want an abortion, don't get one. I've heard it said several times before that getting mad at other people for doing things outside of your religion is like getting mad at someone for eating a piece of cake because you are on a diet. It affects you exactly 0%. Yet for some reason, getting outraged over it helps? I don't know. I don't get it. Now, I am by no means comparing myself to a red Starbucks cup or someone who has survived some sort of sexual assault or whatever going to Planned Parenthood. However, this is a behavior that needs to be pointed out, that needs to be discussed and needs to be dealt with. Even though I am a very small content creator in some random corner of the internet, it's happening all over the world, all the time. But this is something that I've had a problem with my whole life, even when I was a Christian, and letting it continue without being discussed is not something that sits right with me. Now, this whole mentality has biblical backup for it as well. In Mark 12:30, it says, "He who is not for me is against me, and whoever is not with me is scattering me." Now, I can kind of understand, you know, if you are a Christian and you hear this Bible verse, basically anyone who isn't directly supporting you is directly working against you. I don't personally believe in that. I think that is a very polarizing view, and it does more harm than good. However, even if you are a Christian, and even if you do subscribe to this whole thing, what's going on here is incredibly neutral. There is no active working for or against Christianity. And in fact, in Mark 9:40, it says, "The one who is not against us is for us." And neutrality is not against Christianity, so by that logic, it's for. And look, I get it, okay? I was raised on DC Talk with Jesus Freak talking about, you know, John the Baptist and how cool it was to get your head cut off for believing in something that was illegal to believe in, or VeggieTales talking about Radshack, Meshach, and Abednego, or God's Not Dead, and defending your faith and coming out victorious for it and all that stuff. Listen, I get it, okay? People are being indoctrinated in such a way that if you aren't constantly defending your faith, if you aren't being a hero for Jesus, then you aren't living your best possible Christian life, that Jesus isn't as proud of you as he is other people who are defending their faith on a regular basis. But it's very, very important to remember that other people having beliefs different from you, or other people choosing to celebrate or participate in other activities different from the way you are, isn't persecution. That's just humanity. Now, if you're anything like I was when I was in my super Christian phase of life, then you'll hear that last statement I said and think, but everyone should be a Christian. It's the only way. It's the way that God commanded us to be. To which I say, first of all, no, because trying to wipe out other cultures and other religions is literally a tyrannical way of looking at things, and only evil people in history have ever tried to do that. But also, even if I were to humor you and say, okay, sure, we should all be Christian, which kind of Christian should we be? Which denomination of Christianity should we be? Because if you're a longtime listener of this show, you'll know that I've had people from all different kinds of Christian backgrounds or even religious backgrounds on this show talking about what their belief was in regards of salvation and how you should live your life. And every single denomination has a different perception of who can and cannot be saved and how you should live your life. I know, for example, several of the different Pentecostal sects have very specific rules that you have to follow that are specific only to that sect of Pentecostalism. But if you don't follow those very specific rules, then you aren't saved and you aren't going to heaven. Or should we follow Catholicism, where there are 1,000 different rituals that need to be carried out every single day in order to ensure your purity and your soul going to heaven and not going to hell or purgatory or anything like that? Or should we be non-denominational and just say, well, you know, if you believe in God, you're going to heaven? Because some people, even within the Christian faith, would disagree with you there. And then, even still, if you are just as Christian as I was, and you heard all of that, you would probably say something along the lines of, well, we should do the version of Christianity that I believe in. Which, sure, fair, you believe in what you believe because you think it's the right one, it's the correct way to do things. But everyone else isn't an idiot. Everyone who believes in what they believe it as fervently as you do, if not more so. You are simply a product of your own culture, your own upbringing, your own lifestyle, and so is everyone else who believes anything ever. And that's why this whole topic is so important to me, because that's how I was as well. I was raised in a very Christian home. I had very Christian parents and siblings and friends, and everything around me was very extremely Christian. And I left that because I gave some critical, rational thought to my beliefs and where they came from and why I held them. And that's why I'm here today. My message may seem anti-Christian, and sometimes when it comes to the topics that I've talked about in this particular episode, it can be. But it's not because I'm against all Christianity, it's because I'm against intolerant Christianity, people who think that you must be Christian or you must die. But overall, overarching, my message is not one of intolerance or anti-Christianity, mine is one of please. Have a thought. Please think about where you came from. Think about where you are. Think about why you're here and put it into perspective and rationalize it. And if you can't rationalize it, figure out why. At the end of every single episode that I have with a guest, I ask them, what advice do you have for someone who's leaving Christianity? Or if they are Christian, I say, what advice do you have for someone who is in front of you? Or even if they are leaving Christianity, what advice do you have for them? And every single person has had some variation of never stop learning. Keep reading, keep thinking, keep rationalizing, keep learning. And I feel like the second we stop learning is the second that we've lost. So this show, while it's called The Doctrine Detox, while I do rant about Christianity every now and then, it's not anti-Christianity. It's pro-thought, and specifically rational thought. Now, I have very little hope that the people who have been reporting my content on Patreon will actually listen to this episode. But if by some chance you are one of those people, first of all, I'm not mad at you. I understand why you're doing this. I was in your shoes once before. But secondly, take note from Matthew 5:10 through 12, where, paraphrased, it says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of their righteousness, and blessed are people who say false things about you." It's important to note here, though, that I haven't said a false thing about you. I've only spoken the truth, and it can be backed up with just a little bit of research. So if, for some reason, you feel persecuted by the words that I've been saying for the past 20 or so minutes, maybe it's time to look inward. And for all of you listening, if you're interested in having a discussion with me about this, if you want to have a rational, open-minded discussion, you are more than welcome to send me a message on Patreon, or if you're not subscribed to my Patreon, which is okay, you can send me an email at doctrinedetoxpod@gmail.com, and I am more than happy to talk about this. Anyway, that's all I have for you today, folks. I hope that you enjoyed today's episode, or at least it was informative for you. If you're interested in following me on social media, you can on Instagram at Doctrine Detox Pod and Twitter at Doctrine Detox. And I'm also newly on Reddit r/Doctrine Detox Pod. If you want to support me on Patreon, you are welcome to. But like I said at the start of the episode, I'm not sure if supporting me on Patreon right now is the best idea, the best investment right now for your own money. But if you're interested, you can at patreon.com/Doctrine Detox Pod. And never ever forget, folks, that despite this, everything is going to be okay. The Doctrine Detox Podcast is written, recorded, and produced by Adrian Cardwell. Original intro and outro music is Doctrine Detox by Adrian Cardwell.